This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I'm one of your hosts, Tom.
And I'm Tim.
Tim, how are you doing on this spooky October evening?
Tom, it is very spooky. And I'm not doing great, and I'll tell you why. It's halfway through Halloween month, more than halfway through Halloween month.
Uh-huh.
And you and I haven't come up with spooky nicknames for ourselves.
Oh. I can be Tomb.
Ooh. Okay. That's good. I could also be Tomb, I guess.
No, you can't be Tomb.
Why?
That's more changes than mine. Than my name.
Yeah, you're just adding a B to the end.
You could be Time, and it's like the passage of time.
That's the scariest thing of all. But,
exactly. And you could explain people to that when you explain that it's a spooky nickname.
What about this time? I was thinking this one. Skeletim.
Oh, that's not bad. Yeah.
Right? Like skeleton?
Right. Oh,
and my name's Tim.
I thought that was your speech impediment.
Oh, you thought I was just saying skeleton?
Yeah, that I thought you. A lot of times, I don't know if you've noticed, but you say M's instead of N's.
No, I haven't noticed that.
Yeah, so I thought you were just saying skeleton, and I was being nice, like, oh yeah, that's cool.
You're famously nice, Tom. That's what I appreciate about you. You're nice to everybody all the time, especially me.
Well, I appreciate it, Tim. You're welcome.
Tom, I did a spooky thing today.
Uh-oh.
I rode
Be careful because, you know, they can arrest you for things you say on a podcast.
Now, Tom, what are you implying?
I don't know. You said you did a spooky thing today, and I just don't want to see you locked up.
I did a thing that scared me. That made me uncomfortable. It didn't scare
okay.
me. I'm very brave.
Normally, when you tell me you did something spooky, and it's a bad thing, you don't say it scared you. You say it made me feel alive.
Now, what exactly are you implying here?
Or there was one time I remember you said it made you feel like God.
What are you implying? That I murdered people?
Tim, what did I tell you? Don't say it on the podcast. They can throw you in jail for a podcast. The bailiffs nowadays, they listen to podcasts too.
Yeah, it's the smartest thing. The judge, the jury, the bailiff,
yeah,
the stenographer.
I have it on.
They all got earbuds in.
I have it on good authority that the prison guards were listening to a podcast when Jeffrey Epstein killed himself, and that's how they don't know what happened.
Were they listening to one of the 16 different Jeffrey Epstein podcasts?
Yeah, they were like, who is this guy? We gotta figure this out. Now, those podcasts only came out like after he killed himself. I'm sure there were a couple, but it was after he killed himself that the gold rush set in.
Yeah, the big Epstein gold rush of 2019.
Yeah. But you were saying, you actually did something spooky that you can talk about.
Yeah. You uncharacteristically interrupted me, while I was talking earlier.
If I let you go on too long, Tim, it bores everyone and then people tune out.
Famously nice, Tom Reynolds. Love doing this show with you, Tommy.
I'm being nice to the listener. Sorry.
I rode the New York City subway, Tom. That's spookiest thing I could have done Halloween month this year.
I haven't been on the subway since February.
Yeah, February, not even March, huh? Real coward, huh?
Oh, maybe I went on it once in March. I was out of the state when it started hitting New York City.
Oh, running away. Run for the hills.
No, it was I just wasn't around. And then I came back for like a day and all of a sudden they're like, hey, everybody stay inside.
Well, at the time and I said, wow, you thought it was a hoax?
It seems like this city's really gone to shit since I was here. I leave this city for 1 week and look what happens.
So you haven't been on the subway, Tom?
No, I haven't been on the subway.
Tom, it is pretty much the same. And that's the spooky. Everybody was wearing masks.
Yeah. Well, you have to on the subway, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like you have to do a lot of things.
Yeah, I guess the subway was never a bastion of legal behavior before.
Yeah. There was one lady.
Excuse me, sir, you're not allowed to lie down on that seat.
Yeah.
Get stabbed.
You like to call people out, right?
No, I mind my own business in New York City. I'm not looking to get stabbed.
I used to do things when I was coming off the train, and if people, you're supposed to let people off the train before. It used to be that, like, if people tried to push their way on, I would, like, shove very hard. Or, like, you know, if it was an able-bodied man, I would try to hurt him.
And that's the thing that kind of
made me feel like God when I would harm an able-bodied man who was pushing his way onto the subway.
And if it was somebody who was not able-bodied, you tried to kill him.
That's not true, Tom. There was this one lady who pulled her mask down and was having an argument with nobody.
Oh, no.
But I don't know. She had like, she was coming from a store. She was very well dressed. I think she was mad at the fact that she had to be wearing a mask, and she just assumed that everybody on the train was thinking that she was a jerk.
Okay.
And like, I think she was responding to what she imagined everybody wanted to say to her.
Uh-huh.
And there was some pretty unkind things, racist things. Mm. But like, it was like suburban racism where it was like couched in like, wasn't using like slurs. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I think suburban racism is a better term than dog whistle, isn't it? I think I just coined a phrase. No?
Say that again. I didn't hear you.
Tom, listen. Here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
We're recording this over FaceTime.
Yes.
For some reason, my internet isn't great. You're just going to have to roll with it and be a professional. You're just going to have to assume that what I said was...
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
You are correct, sir.
Thank you. Yes. Great. Here we are. But that lady was fine. Whatever. We stayed
I don't
away
know,
from
Tim,
her.
You started talking about, you're like, I don't know. I think suburban racism is, and then I didn't hear the rest. And I think a lot of people deserve it. What do you think, Tom?
Anyway, the thing that really offended me is that they kept making the normal announcements. Like the same announcements that they were making in February. Like,
please stand clear.
Yeah. Or just like, you know, you're going, and everybody, I don't know, if you're sane, you're in there, you're holding your breath, you're trying not to breathe very much, right? And you're just like, can you please just get to the next station as quickly as possible so some people can get off here?
Well, the talking isn't slowing down the train, Tim. Do you think they're running it off the same motor?
No, but I'm just saying, like, let's focus all of our... all of our energy. If
they're
you're working on the train.
They're recordings that play
automatically. No, they weren't.
Oh, the conductor was saying things.
Yeah, I never understood that. Sometimes it's a recording, but sometimes the conductor reads the same wording from it. That's always been the case.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you didn't want... Like, I just feel like, hey, I'm feeling saucy today. I'll read this myself.
It's probably when the system goes down.
Yeah, I don't know, but like, you know, we're crawling along between stations. You know, there's a bunch of people in a confined space, and then the person driving the train comes on, and they're just like, A reminder from the New York City Police Department that all backpacks are subject to search. It's like, yeah, we all know that. Hey, stop reading the script and drive the goddamn train. Get us to the next station.
Yeah, hey, look.
Get me out of this tube.
Nobody's worried about backpacks right now, pal. We're worried about each other's filthy mouths spitting things.
Exactly.
So you were upset that they had the same subway announcements playing. Do you think they should have like scary music playing?
because of Halloween or because of COVID?
Hey, it's up to the person to interpret why there's scary music playing. Or maybe just like heartbeat sounds, just like dum 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 dum, just echoing through the subway car.
I feel like like buzzing of flies or something would be nice too.
Or just like a very low mumbling, or like you can't tell, like, is that, am I hearing mumbling? Is that the public address system?
Yeah, just anything to drive like people mad. That maybe like not very loud but high pitched, just noise, just beeping that just like,
yeah.
Not high enough that only teens can hear it, but
right.
High pitched enough that like adults could barely hear it. So you just feel like something's kind of like trying to jump out of your skin.
But I assume the subway was less crowded than normal.
It was. It was. Yeah. But it wasn't empty. And I was hoping it would be empty.
Right. I assume that they're not empty right now. People, you know, some people have returned to work. Like in office buildings and stuff. I mean, and then of course, people who have jobs that require them to be at work, they're still doing their jobs. So,
yeah, no, me, I was going to a rave.
Oh, Tim, you're not supposed to be going to raves ever, actually, but especially
it's
not
okay.
Right now.
It's okay. It was a lot of fun.
It's okay. It was one of those it was one of those foam parties. So everybody was very safe. Maybe those will make a comeback.
Foam parties?
Yeah.
That's not going to stop the transition of an airborne.
What if they put soap in the foam? What if the foam is made out of soap?
Yeah, that doesn't stop droplets.
It helps. Can't
it
hurt.
It does help. Yeah.
I mean, I know that they had, I think when this all started, before like it got more serious, when people, when most people thought like, I don't know what to think about this, that strip clubs had hand sanitizer wrestling instead of their traditional mud or jello wrestling.
Mm. Does that really happen? I thought that was just on TV.
No, I think it really happened. I mean,
it
seems
like sitcoms.
Seems like a horrible idea because, you know, you don't want to get hand sanitizer in your eyes or any other opening in your body.
Yeah.
But look, these creeps, they want what they want, and that's what they wanted. I don't think that's actually even what they wanted, but.
No, nobody wants that.
Yeah, it's just appealing to the zeitgeist. The strip clubs, they got to stay in the zeitgeist, Tim. Or else the world was just going to leave them behind, pass them right by.
Please, call me Skeleton. Tom, this week we have a very spooky topic. It's Halloween month. I am just letting you know, letting the listener know, I'm doing this episode under protest.
Anything under protest. You never said anything about doing it under protest.
Tom, I am uncomfortable with the practice of glorifying serial killers.
We're not glorifying anything, Tim. You think when we do an episode about ghosts, we're glorifying ghosts?
Yeah, of course.
Well, you misunderstood, pal, because anything but. Trying to warn people about ghosts.
Just wait till our episode about the devil.
Well, sure. I mean, that's...
Remember.
What?
At the end of Halloween month 2020, Tim and Tom are going to hell.
Yeah, this might even be the episode that sends us there.
Ooh, yeah, because we're... Look, I don't like people getting their yucks on podcasts about... real life tragedies.
Okay.
And I feel like people treat serial killers as if they're not perpetrators of horrible things. They're more of a pop culture. Serial killers, that's fun.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I haven't really listened to any, podcasts about serial killers in general, but especially like any, like, you know, the ones that are like a lighthearted look at serial killers. Because I agree with you that it is, I don't know, it stinks. Hey, it stinks to be a victim of a serial killer. I'll say it.
Yeah. It stinks to be the family of a victim of a serial killer.
Absolutely.
But you think it's fun to be a serial killer?
No. Do I think I could probably do a good job at it? Yeah, I think I'd be all right at it if I set my mind to it.
What makes you think you'd be good at it? And by being good at it, mm-hmm. having the capacity to take another human being's life, or a capacity, or you'd be good at evading the police?
I think I'd be good at evading capture.
Okay. What traits do you think you possess that would make that the case?
Well, first things first, you gotta be careful. Some people, especially later on in their careers as serial killers,
they get cocky.
Yeah, they get cocky and they get sloppy. And then all
sloppiness is next to cockiness.
Exactly.
That's what they say.
Well, one leads to the other. Mm-hmm. But I also think that some of them get kind of bored and like tease the cops or whatever, or like, mm-hmm. you know, start leaving calling cards, or they get an ego about it, which I guess is the whole thing.
Are you just talking about the Batman cinematic universe?
No.
Okay.
Why? What happened? You're
calling cards and teasing the police and stuff.
No, I'm talking about like the Zodiac Killer and stuff.
They start taunting Batman, which you know is a big
oh, that's a bad idea.
Mistake.
No, I'm saying like the serial killers that send notes to the police about things. Or there are serial killers who like certain murders get pinned on them. And they get mad because they're like, that wasn't me. And they'll like write a letter being like, hey, that wasn't me. Or vice versa. Like they commit a crime that they see as like the perfect crime. And then they're like, nobody even found that victim though, and can appreciate all the thought I put into this. So let me send a note to the police where to find the body. Because I'm pretty sure they're not going to be able to figure out who I am.
Tom,
from that. What?
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, Tomb. I have a question.
Yes, Skeleton.
Do you have any... Are there documented cases of any of this happening that you said happened? Or are you just assuming or going by, like, movies?
No, the BTK killer. That's actually kind of what got him in the end. Well, talking
what
to the
it?
Cops is what got him in the end.
Oh. After they were onto him?
Yeah, but he had stopped killing for a while.
Yeah.
And he was just kind of
bored. And
the
statute of limitations was,
no,
what, six
it was,
months?
It was a cold case. It was like literally a cold case. They had no other leads, no other evidence. And then he was like, I should see how my old buddies, the cops, are doing. I should send him a letter.
Did he just stroll into the police station like
no,
John Doe?
No.
End of Seven?
We'll talk about BTK. Look, I know you're a big Kevin Spacey fan, and you try and work him into every episode, but...
Tom, I like him better than I like the BTK killer. I'm no Kevin Spacey fan, but he didn't bind, torture, and kill anybody.
That we know of.
Yeah, so I think the thing that I really object to is the when people are like, who's your favorite serial killer? Like, I don't have a favorite serial killer,
you
that? Sick
Tim, you
people.
Gotta stop going to these sick parties, these masquerade balls that
I'll
you're so
never
fond
stop
of,
going to these
of.
Sick parties. I love these sick parties. It's where I can be myself.
Tim, do you know what classifies somebody as a serial killer?
You know, we did read in Books the Podcast, another podcast we do, a book called My Sister the Serial Killer.
Yes.
And the narrator of that book said three killings makes you a serial killer.
Three killings over at least a month time, with time in between those killings.
Okay, that makes sense. Because, so you're not like, a serial killer if you are a if there's like a mass casualty event.
No, then you're a spree killer.
Right.
This has to be there has to be a cool down time or a cool off time in between.
You walk away and then you get worked up again. Tom, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to hope that you'll agree with me here. All killers stink.
Not all of them.
Okay. Tom takes a not all killers stance.
Well, what about, I was going to say the guy that killed Hitler, but that was Hitler, so.
Yeah. That's, yeah, he stinks. Yeah, sorry, he Tom. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I guess you're right.
Look,
it checks out.
I might not think Kevin Spacey is as bad as the BTK killer, but you don't think Hitler's bad at all, so here we are.
The time in between killings is important because another aspect of a serial killer is that they have to have some kind of psychological gratification that they're after. Something compels them to kill. It's not out of anger or fear or hate or anything like that. It's like, nope, you know, either some kind of compulsion is getting them to kill, which is why there are like cool off times, because once they kill, they're usually like, all right, I got that out of my system for a little bit.
Is that a hard and fast rule?
They go back and kill again.
Is that a hard and fast rule that they have to have some sort of cycle? Like, I don't know. If a guy's just a jerk.
Well, then that's just a jerk.
And then kills somebody, and then kills somebody a month later, and then kills somebody a month later, and then kills somebody 3 months later. But it's just because they're a jerk, not because they have a psychological compulsion to. Maybe they get into heated arguments.
Well, what do you consider a jerk?
Well, at the very, if you kill someone, Tom, for no reason.
Yeah, well, I consider serial killers jerks.
Guess what? In my book, you're a jerk.
I'm sorry.
Wait, you don't think serial killers are jerks?
No, I think that serial killers are jerks. What you're describing. Yeah. Is a serial killer. Like, you can't just say, oh, that guy. You can't, in like a court of law, be like, ladies and gentlemen, the jury, my client is not a serial killer. He's simply a jerk that got mad a few times.
I'm not saying a jerk can't be a serial killer and a serial killer can't be a jerk. I was questioning your you said that they needed to be, they needed to have some psychological component to it,
yeah.
Right? Where they take pleasure in it psychologically. But what if they're crimes of opportunity, right? What if somebody, if they kill in robberies?
Well, that's
right?
A robber, though. That's not a serial killer.
But if they kill multiple times, they've killed people serially.
If they kill multiple people, Tim, then they're a killer, not a robber who happened to kill. They're a killer who happened to also rob people.
You know what my problem with you is, Tom?
What?
You're extremely pedantic all the time. And then when I try to be lightly pedantic, when you say something, you act like I'm being a real jerk.
Well, I mean, according to you, sometimes serial killers are just jerks, so I guess that's really an insult.
I think serial killers are all jerks, Tom. I don't know about you.
But sometimes they're just a jerk. They're not a serial killer. They're
Nobody
just
said that. What else? What else defines a serial killer?
Well, I mean, sometimes there are serial killers who it's not necessarily like a gratification thing. You know, there are serial killers who are racist and homophobic and misogynistic or.
That's exactly what I was saying, Tom. That they don't necessarily need to be like.
Yeah, but it's still,
I need to kill. They could just be jerks.
It's an idea that drives them.
Okay.
And often, the people that they're killing, or at least the majority of the people that they're killing, are people that they don't have a personal connection with. You know, it's somewhat random, which is what makes a serial killer scary to people.
Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever killed anybody?
No, I've never killed anybody.
No, seriously. It's just me and you here. We'll cut this part out.
It's not just me and you here. No, I've never killed anybody. We'll cut it out. I've never even hurt anybody, except for their feelings.
Yeah, I know that.
Another aspect of serial killers, Tim, and this one, you know, you might want to pay attention to. More than 60% of them wet their beds after age 12.
Why do I want to pay attention to that?
Because you got them rubber sheets.
I don't think I ever wet my bed even as a small child. I don't think I've ever wet my bed.
That sounds like you're really, you know, I don't think I've ever been scared. I think I'm the bravest man alive.
No, I've been scared you all never the time, even... Tom. I was scared riding the friggin' subway earlier.
Did you wet yourself?
No, I didn't wet myself, and I wasn't in a bed. I was on the subway. Man, so even if I had wet myself, it wouldn't matter.
Oh, I see. You're using semantics to get around it. Well, it's after the age of 12. I mean, when you're under the age of 12, you do wet the bed sometimes. I remember
what I'm saying is I didn't.
I was going to say, I remember wetting the bed once when I was, at a friend's house doing a sleepover. The worst time to wet the bed.
Yeah. You sound like a real asshole.
Well, I was, I don't know, like 8 years old.
Eight.
No, I was younger than eight. I take that back. I was like 5 years old.
Okay.
Plenty of space between.
Whose house were you at?
You don't know him.
Yeah? Was it in Canada?
No, you don't know him. It was, I didn't know you yet either. I don't think I even lived in the same town as you yet.
Okay.
I don't want to mention names on this. I don't want.
Just name names.
I'm a guy named Shane.
Shane?
Yeah.
Was he some kind
he
of
wasn't
cowboy?
A guy. He was a kid, I should mention.
Okay. Was he also 5 years old? Because if he wasn't, that's weird.
Also, contrary to popular belief, Tim, serial killers usually have average to below average IQs.
Now, Dr. Phil disagrees with you.
What does Dr. Phil know about serial killers?
First of all, Dr. Phil on his website has 14 characteristics of a serial killer in the parenting section because, as the intro says, could you be raising a criminal? Acts of violence don't come out of nowhere, and every parent should be aware of the clues along the way. Can you imagine that somebody is like a parent of a small child and they're concerned that they're going to be a serial killer, so they consult Dr. Phil?
Well, they don't even consult him. They just go to his website.
Yeah. Over 90% of serial killers are male.
Yeah.
No shit.
Actually, I read, I think the statistic I read was 84%. Still okay, well, overwhelmingly
that can't be
male.
True. They're not. 16% of serial killers are not women. But Dr. Phil says right here, they tend to be intelligent with IQs in the, quote, bright normal range.
No. And also, I was going to say, I wouldn't be surprised if there are more female serial killers than we know about, but they're much better at keeping it a secret.
Why's that?
Because they don't have, like, the same freaking, like, dumb egos as most guys. I can see, like, a female serial killer being like, nah, I'm just going to do my job serial killing, and I don't care if anybody knows about it. It's just for me.
You don't think they'd go to brunch and tell all their girlfriends about it over a mimosa?
That's true. That's true, Tim. I didn't think about that.
That's my new persona, Tim. That's my new comedy persona.
Is that Skeleton?
Skeletim is a real hack comic.
Skeletim's a misogynist.
He's a real jerk, Skeletim.
But that's
spooky as hell.
Dr. Phil's wrong. A lot of them seem to have intelligence because they are very calm and methodic and will, you know, speak a lot. Like once they're captured, you know, they'll pontificate. But when they do IQ tests, it's like, nah, this person's actually like average, if not below average.
I just don't trust your sources. I'm on the one hand, Dr. Phil is telling me that they're smart. On the other hand, fucking Tomb is telling me that they're dumb. They come from unstable families.
That's usually true, yeah. There's usually some kind of huge childhood trauma.
They hate their fathers and their mothers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this part isn't. None of this is funny. This is my problem. They're fascinated with fire starting when they're kids, starting fires.
Yeah, that happens a lot, or like torturing and killing animals, you know, kind of sadistic hobbies.
Yeah, and they like voyeurism and S&M pornography, according to Dr. Phil.
I think that that's... Yeah, I guess probably.
Yeah, I also think Dr. Phil's just like, well, that's just weird.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure on average, serial killers are more into that than the average population. But that's also a little dangerous because then it's like, oh, and if, you know, you're into that, if you're into getting spanked once in a while, maybe you're a serial killer.
Tom, nobody's asking you to profile. All right.
Well, sometimes, who knows? After this episode, I might get asked. I might get called in by the FBI to help them profile some criminals.
You wanted to be in the FBI.
Yeah.
Why didn't you pursue that?
I don't think I could have had a podcast if I was in the FBI.
You gave it all up for a podcast? Or yep. Were you...
Tim, you have no idea how much I've given up for this podcast. A career in the FBI... I could have been a prolific serial killer. I don't know. There have probably been like a couple of times we've recorded when like, you know, somebody wanted to hang out.
Thank you for your service, Tom. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Tom?
Yes.
What's your social battery like right now?
Beep.
Oh.
Boop.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Uh-huh.
Tom, I'll tell you from my perspective, since you're avoiding the question.
Uh-huh.
My social battery feels a little drained right now.
That was what that second sound was.
But
I had to do the going up to show you the going down.
You gotta go up to get down.
That's what my first single's about.
It's weird. I feel kind of drained socially, even though you can attest I don't do much socially.
Yeah, and you enjoy social things, but
I do,
but
and
it drains you.
Yeah, I don't know. It can be very easy to ignore our social battery, which is kind of what I'm doing right now, and spread ourselves thin, or just not know, kind of like, you know, where the optimal socialization is for
you.
You
want to be a shut-in, but you can't be a party animal.
Yeah. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Mm-hmm. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more time alone. I don't know. Maybe you need a little bit of both. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Tom, we are, as everybody knows, very pro-therapy on this podcast.
Yes.
Anybody can benefit from therapy. It's not just for people, you know, dealing with trauma.
Yeah, or going through tough times.
Yeah, it's helpful for learning positive coping skills and setting boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, Tom. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, like you, Tom. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And all you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/complete guide today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/complete guide.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, wow.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Tim, I was reading into why people are so obsessed with serial killer content lately.
Why you go like, hey, who's your favorite serial killer?
I don't go, Tim, but if we were smart, we would just turn this into a serial killer podcast. We'd have 100 times more listeners. We'd both be wealthy beyond our wildest dreams, living on a private island away from all the serial killers.
It's your dream to live on a private island, isn't it, Tom? After you read about all the stuff that can go on private islands.
Now, what is that supposed to mean, Tim? What kind of things can go on at private islands that I'm not aware of?
Hey, Tom, you tell me.
Well,
this is the first I've ever heard of a private island. I didn't know that they existed.
So one of the reasons why, from my studies, people are really into serial killers is people are trying to understand the motives of something that can't easily be understood or can't be understood at all. In a lot of cases, you know, there's mm-hmm. no understanding why somebody's like, I'm going to kill 30 people.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, I don't think I can understand that, so I'm not interested in trying to understand that. Because what if you learn it and you understand, and then you're just like, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, there's always the danger of that.
Right? So I think it's better to just be like, that's bad, and I'm glad that guy's caught or whatever.
Yeah. Well, so there are two other reasons. That's not the biggest reason. The second reason is knowledge of for your own protection, your own safety, knowing what serial killers are like, how to stay away from them, what mm-hmm. you should do if there are people who have credited, like, you know, the documentaries and stuff with like, oh, I knew what was going on in this situation from something I read or saw, and I did this and that saved my life.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, so would you agree? Another thing that that I've read is that serial killers, by and large, can be pretty charming.
Yeah. Some of them. Yeah. It depends on the type of serial killer. But yeah, I mean, a lot of them are, you know, the psychopaths, and psychopaths can be very good at figuring out what people respond to, what people like, kind of methodically, and yeah, being able to turn on the charm. right. As so necessary.
Should you avoid all charming people?
I think I do avoid most charming people.
No, not you. Like potential serial killer victims. Nobody's gonna murder you. What would anybody get out of murdering you, Tom?
Maybe some kind of gratification. And you stepped on my joke. I was gonna say I tend to stay away from charming people. That's why I've been doing this podcast with you for so long.
Tom, why do you gotta say mean things to me all the time?
You were just saying nobody would want to kill me.
Yeah, that's a compliment.
That's not a compliment.
Hey, you think if I was like, everybody wants to murder you, Tom.
I'm too boring to be killed. Nobody would get some kind of thrill from killing me.
You're too powerful to be killed.
Oh, well, thank you. That is, I have thought that a lot.
Tom, you're too handsome to be killed.
Damn.
You can't kill a man this handsome.
But the biggest reason why people consume serial killer content is because you're not normally reading about, sometimes you are reading about cold cases, you're reading about people who are never caught, but a lot of times you're reading about people who are caught, and it gives you some kind of satisfaction of, okay, good one in the end, eventually good triumphed over evil, there is an order to the world, somebody can't be a serial killer forever without eventually getting their comeuppance.
You know what? If you're into that, that's how you get your kicks, whatever. But I can get the same gratification from reading a nice Encyclopedia Brown. Right? Bad guys always get their comeuppance.
Yeah, but the bad guys in Encyclopedia Brown novel are not normally as bad as a serial killer. I don't think Encyclopedia Brown ever caught a serial killer. He catches somebody who, like, steals an antique.
Yeah, that's not bad.
It's bad, Tim, but not as bad as killing multiple people. But you were
Bugs Meany is a bad dude.
Who's Bugs Meany?
He's the main antagonist in Encyclopedia Brown.
How many people has he killed?
36.
Wow, that is a lot. And yeah. Was it a spree killing, though? Was it all at once?
No, but 12 were at once. So okay. A full third of them was
so it, well, killing, then yeah. In that case, it sounds like he did both. He's a spree killer and a serial killer.
No, Tom. According to villains.fandom.com, his crimes are theft and lying, and his goals are... many.
Ooh, I have many goals too. Does that make me a villain?
Well, his hobbies. Well, you know, you have a lot in common with Bugs Meany. Mm-hmm. His hobbies are bullying little kids.
You're not a little kid.
Framing people and
okay,
stealing.
That I do like to do.
You do like to frame people. Tom, if you were a serial killer, would you try to... leave clues to point to someone else?
Ooh, that's a good idea. I mean, I think that most serial killers don't do that. In fact, they get mad if somebody else gets credit for their killing.
Yeah, that's true.
But again, that's what trips them up. But also, you know, serial killers aren't in their right mind. I'll say it. I know it might be controversial in some circles to say that, but... I believe it.
Yeah, but yet you don't think they're jerks.
That's not how I would classify them.
All right, well, that's fine. So you think they're nice, upstanding citizens? You'd give them an award, a citizenship award?
Yeah, I'd give them a citizenship award, and they get to stay in the county jail. That's their
prize.
I'd
give them a citizen's award, a citizen's arrest.
You mentioned earlier that the idea that serial killers are charming. And
right.
Now, who do you think of as the most charming serial killer of them all, Tim?
Pierce Brosnan.
Pierce Brosnan. As far as we know, is not a serial killer.
As far as you know.
Do you have information I'm not privy to?
I'm just saying, Pierce Brosnan is pretty charming. Wink, wink.
Yeah, I know you're still mad that he started dating Sally Field so quickly after she got her divorce from Robin Williams.
Yeah, but he got his comeuppance.
He just moved in too quickly.
Yeah, he got a piece of citrus in the old noggin.
It was a drive-by fruiting, if I recall.
It sure was, Tom. It was a drive-by fruiting.
No, Tim, the charming serial killer everybody thinks of is Ted Bundy.
Ted Bundy.
From Married with Children.
You beat me to it, Tom.
But he was handsome and very charming. I'm not going to go into all of his murders because, I don't know, murder's not, you know, fun to think about. Well, I guess I'm going to talk about a couple of his murders. But I'm going to talk about, I mean, I don't know that much about him to begin with. But what I didn't know, did you know this, that he successfully escaped prison or like jail?
No. So this was when he was caught, so but not convicted of being a serial killer, right?
Yeah. So he had been doing killings for a while, and he had finally got caught in Montana, I believe it was. Or maybe it was Colorado. No, I think it was Montana. And he was driving.
What happens in Montana? Look, what no offense. No offense to any Montana listeners, but I don't think we have any listeners in Montana. Because, like, Montana's just like a nothing state, right? Nothing happens
there? No,
they got
the Rocky Mountains, Tim. They got Denver.
What?
Denver.
Montana?
No, I'm thinking of Colorado. I think this happened in Colorado.
Okay, but you originally said Montana.
I know, I was wrong. You're right, I don't know what happens in Montana.
Nothing.
I'm sure things happen. But he was...
Probably some murders that nobody will ever know about.
That's true.
Man, if I was going to murder someone, I'd take him to Montana. But I wouldn't tell anybody else we were going there.
Yeah, well...
Well, now I'm not going to because I just said it in a public forum. But, you know... It's an idea for any aspiring murderers out there, I guess.
So he got caught. He was driving around. There had been like some murders, and he was driving around. A police officer pulled him over like very early morning, and he had in his car like a mask, duct tape, a tire iron, like all serial killer stuff.
I mean,
stuff.
A tire iron in your car. Where else are you going to have a tire iron?
It was a tire iron that the bottom was taped up to, like, give it a grip.
Okay, yeah. Like, how often are you changing your tires?
Right, that you're
how
like,
many
oh,
flats
I gotta
make... do you get? Yeah.
And you don't really even need a grip on a tire iron because you're using leverage rather than, like, hand strength.
Tom, there was probably about 9 years ago, I was going through a string of like I would get a flat tire like every 2 weeks for 3 months. I changed so many tires in one quarter of 2011 that I don't know what was going on. I don't know why that was happening.
I apologize. That was me. I was slashing your tires every couple of weeks.
I wouldn't put it past you. How many people do you think live in Montana, Tom?
I've 5 million.
Nope. 1 million.
1 million people? 1 million people live on my block.
Yeah, exactly. It's the freaking fourth largest state.
Yeah, so they're real spread out.
Yeah.
Well, they're
moved to Montana.
Yeah, I mean, I was gonna say they're the smart ones.
Yeah, must be nice.
So Ted Bundy, he got pulled over for this. He was being tried, but they really didn't have that much evidence on him, which in hindsight, people were like, this was real dumb for him to escape because they didn't really have much. There was a good chance that he could have gotten, you know.
Yeah, but you know what? They might have been like, we know what you did. And then he was just like, oh, man, they're on to me.
So what he did was he was serving as his own lawyer, and he was like, I gotta go to the law library, I gotta, you know, look up some laws to say in court. And they're like, all right. And he was like, all right, I'm just going to go behind this shelf to look at these books. And then he jumped out a window instead, a second floor window, sprained his ankle, ran away. I have the other time he broke out. But so like he like ran into the woods. He had taken a map because he was given a map of like where bodies were found during the discovery phase of trial. So he had a map of the woods and he was on the run for, I think it was like 5 or 6 days before they caught him. And it was mostly, it seems like, because he got like turned around and wasn't going the right way anymore. But he escaped jail a second time. I think this was after the trial. No, or maybe this was during another trial because he was like tried in different, he had done crimes all over the place.
They should start locking the cell.
Well, he had...
With two locks, double lock it. He put a padlock on there too.
He wound up getting a bandsaw. And he'd use that to like cut a hole in the ceiling, which it's like jail.
How did he get a bandsaw?
He got it from some guy.
I don't know how to get a bandsaw in the free world right now.
He had lost 35 pounds. So he was able to climb up this like little hole he made. And he like kept going up there trying to figure out what he was going to do. And somebody even ratted him out. Somebody was like, hey, guard, like, every night I'm hearing somebody like clamoring around up in the ceiling. They're like, ah, shut up, you. So
you idiot.
It was like, I think it was New Year's. So like a bunch of people were, had off, like a bunch of the guards, a bunch of the nonviolent prisoners were like sent home for the holidays. And he escaped. He climbed up through the roof or through the ceiling, wound up breaking into the apartment of the chief jailer, which I guess was in the jail, which it's like, that's cool that you get an apartment with your job. You know, that's your room taken care of. It's not cool to live in a jail if you're not a prisoner.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
living at work sucks, even if it's not a jail.
That's true. Because, yeah, you can't leave your work at work.
Yeah. I guess I live at work now. We all live at work now.
That's true, yeah.
No, that's why life sucks right now.
But
and the virus.
The chief jailer had taken like his wife out to dinner or his girlfriend or something. So he got in his apartment. He took his clothes, put his clothes on, and walked out the front door. And nobody was any wiser.
The first rule of escaping prison: act natural, be cool.
Yeah. So he had put a bunch of books and stuff under his blanket to look like a body. It took them 17 hours to realize he was gone. Because they were like short staffed and nobody was like checking to.
I don't understand how jails work.
Right?
Yeah.
So guess what he had done with that time, Tim? He stole a car. The car ran out of gas finally or whatever, or got it flat. Then he hitchhiked. Then he took a bus, and then he flew to Chicago. He got on a plane, flew to Chicago, hung out at a bar for a little bit because people saw him at a bar. Then he stole a car, drove to Atlanta, and then took a bus to Tallahassee. And then while he was in Tallahassee...
All this in 17 hours?
No. This was like, he was gone for like weeks.
That was a joke. I know you couldn't do all that in 17 hours.
But I mean, he got on a flight to Chicago within 17 hours, which is pretty crazy. And then during that time, you know, very unfortunately, he also attacked four women at a sorority house, killing two of them. And, you know, severely injuring two others. And then he stole a van and drove to Jacksonville. And then I think Jacksonville was where he finally got caught. But this guy successfully escaped prison. Well, he escaped prison once and then he escaped, being in court, I guess. Being in custody, though, one time too, which was, you know, pretty incredible. Also, during
is he your favorite serial killer?
He's not.
Tom?
No, I think he's a real.
You said he was incredible.
I think he's a real POS.
But he's incredible. Your words.
Something
not
can
mine.
Be incredible without that meaning no, you, having a positive connotation.
You said he was incredible, a real formidable man. You said.
I didn't. I mean, it sounds like he was formidable. But,
yeah,
but
you're really proud of him and wish you could follow in his footsteps.
Proud of him. Also, during the penalty phase of his trial, this was like later on, Bundy took advantage of an obscure Florida law providing that a marriage declaration in court in the presence of a judge constitute a legal marriage, as he was questioning former state DES co-worker Carol Ann Boone, who had moved to Florida to be near Bundy, had testified on his behalf during both trials and was again testifying on his behalf as a character witness. He asked her to marry him. She accepted, and Bundy declared to the court that they were legally married.
Why?
I don't know, but that's like another. It's like this guy escaped twice and then he got married during his own trial using a trick.
Yeah. I mean, he knows a lot of tricks. I'll give him that.
Yeah. Well, they I was going to say they put him to sleep, but I guess that's not how they refer to. He was executed.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about old Ted Bundy anymore.
Yeah. Who's your second favorite serial killer, Tom? It's
not my second favorite, but
tied for first.
I mentioned earlier the BTK killer.
Yeah, now what does that stand for?
It stands for bind, torture, kill.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Well,
I don't like any of it.
The crazy thing is that was one of the names he suggested and they went with it.
You shouldn't get to choose your own nickname if you're a serial killer.
You shouldn't get to choose your own nickname regardless. Anyone who...
Skeleton and Tom are pretty cool. Skeleton and Tomb, I'm sorry.
Anyone, like, you know, in like college or wherever, somebody's tried to like be like, no, call me Skip now. It's like, nah, shut the hell up.
Nobody's trying to be called Skip in college.
Yeah, that's not true. But I guess like nobody tries to do like a dumb nickname. It's always like a cool one. Like call me Eagle Eye.
Yeah. I tried to get one of our friends in college to be called Moose.
Yeah.
And it didn't really stick.
Yeah. Oh, it kind of stuck. I still think of him as Moose still.
Really?
From time to time. AJ had a friend, or a friend of the show, AJ, in college. No, it wasn't a friend. It was a roommate. Do you remember that guy's name? He had a nickname like Eagle or something, and he walked sideways all the time.
No, I don't remember the man that walked sideways all the time. I think he's from a nursery rhyme.
He might have been. But this guy, the BTK killer, so he had been doing a bunch of killing. And then he took a lot of time off killing and was like, I should write the police again. And he sent the police a letter, and the return address, it was Bill Thomas Killman. So so BTK, but it's like, well, the third one though is just kill, but with man at the end of it. Yeah. Bill Thomas Killman. So he established a correspondence with the cops, and he was like, hey, if I send you my next letter on a floppy disk, a 3¼-inch floppy disk, you guys can't trace that, can you? And they're like, nah, we can't trace that. And he's like, okay, I trust you, the police, who are trying to catch me, a serial killer. So he sent him a disk. And on the disk, they found a deleted file. He didn't even use a fresh disk. He'd like use an old disk. And it had a deleted Word document. And in the metadata, it was registered to the Christ Lutheran Church. And it was edited by, it just said first name Dennis. So they were like, all right, we're looking for a Dennis that works at a Christ Lutheran Church. and they found him. But they did, that wasn't enough evidence to like take him into custody. The way they got him, was they contacted, I forget what university it was, but they were able to get from that university a pap smear from his daughter and use use that DNA to show that DNA that they had that nobody knew about. They had DNA from a victim from under her fingernails. They matched that to his daughter of like, okay, well, this person's an offspring of this person. And that was enough to arrest him. And then, you know, they got everything else. And also during that, his wife was granted an emergency divorce, which I didn't know was a thing.
I guess if your husband is a serial killer.
Oh, I mean, if there was ever an appropriate time for
an emergency.
It.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that there was such a thing as an emergency divorce.
Well, I didn't know there was such a thing as getting married in the middle of a dang murder trial.
I didn't know there was such a thing as DNA.
Tom, now they're catching a lot of these guys through DNA that they're getting through DNA collection agencies. This is fun.
DNA sequencing services that you can find out like what you're genetically predisposed to, and then also be in a database that they, you know, license out to various police departments. And for right now, sure, they're looking for killers, but, you know, who knows what that could lead to.
They got the Golden State Killer that way.
Yes.
Did you read that book, I'll Be Gone in the Dark?
I didn't read that book.
Did you? Nah. Did the HBO series come out yet?
Yeah, it's already all aired.
Yeah. I'm glad they got that guy. That guy, that book was terrifying.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. That's just like incredibly, because that was like incredibly random, right?
Yeah, but what I don't understand is I was reading this book and I was like, why am I reading this book? And at that point when I was reading it, they hadn't solved the case. So it didn't scratch that itch of,
right.
Hey, this will show that, you know, wrongs are righted and good always prevails over evil. Mm-hmm. And it was a description of horrific crime after horrific crime.
Yeah.
And this guy's just like taunting his victims and the families of his victims.
Oh, yeah. His thing. Like he would like call the families or send them letters, right?
Yeah. It's just, you know, there's a lot of sick shit going on. And it's like when I was on page like 40 of 300, I was like, what am I reading this book for? And I didn't like it. And I just, I mean, it was well written and all, and it was well researched. But I was just like, I don't know. I just don't understand the point of, I don't understand the appeal of true crime stuff. It just makes me feel like, I wish none of this stuff ever happened.
Yeah, well, Tim, wishing it away isn't going to make it go away. Tim, the
maybe
world.
Maybe it will. The world. Has everybody tried wishing real hard at once?
The world's a sick, dark place, Tim. Break the bubble for you.
Maybe we can, it's burst the bubble, Tom. Maybe we can put together like a big wish, right? We'll get everybody on board and we'll say like, if we get 1 million people to wish that all the serial killers stopped.
Yeah, you can maybe start a change.org petition.
No, it needs to be a wish, Tom. It needs to be birthday wishes.
How many serial killers?
Wishbone wishes.
How many serial killers they estimate are operating in the U.S. at any given time?
All right. The number is either 75 or 13,000.
Price is Right rules, Tim. You lost. There are an estimated 25 at any given time.
Oh, well, that makes me feel better.
So you could be living in a state where you're serial killer free. 50-50
chance. Montana,
you are.
Probably.
More than 50-50 chance. You know, some states probably have multiple serial killers.
That's true. Tom, I got news for you. We're not in one of those states.
Right, because we have the Long Island serial killer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they've not been caught yet.
No.
And both me and you, prime suspects, because we're from the town where the bodies were found?
I wouldn't say we're suspects.
I didn't say suspects. I said prime suspects.
What's the difference?
Well, it's just very interesting that you chose the you know, a wording that I didn't say.
I don't like your attitude in general. I don't like your personality.
What are you going to do about it? Kill me, Tim? Tie me up, put me in a bag, and dump me somewhere? I bet you'd like that, wouldn't you? You get a real psychological thrill out of that, some real gratification. Maybe it would keep you quiet for a little while, cool off for a bit, before the hunger comes rising up again.
Do you like this show?
Oh, I was going to say, you ever hear about this guy, Dexter? He's a serial killer who kills serial killers.
Yeah, they're bringing it back, Tom. Your favorite show, Dexter's coming back.
Because it was so good towards the end.
You really liked Dexter, right?
The first couple of seasons were really good, and then it got like progressively worse and worse and worse. And then they were like, oh, this show's been off the air for 5 years. Let's bring it back.
Well, you're hoping they'll do that with Last Man Standing, right? They already resurrected it once.
The Tim Allen show?
Yeah.
No, mm-hmm. I didn't know until this week that that show was still on the air. And it has been on, it's going to be in its 9th season.
Hey, congratulations to Tim Allen and the whole Last Man Standing crew.
If you like the show, you can find out more at tcgt.com. If you want to support the show, check out our sponsors. Also, check out patreon.com/completeguide for Books the Podcast, our secondary podcast. Right now, we just finished up two spooky Sweet Valley High books, and Tim watched two episodes of the Sweet Valley High television series, which some people might not even know existed. And he watched them, and he's going to tell me all about it.
Yeah. It was bad.
Well, there you go. There's your preview of this week's Books the Podcast at patreon.com/completeguide. You can follow us on Twitter at Complete Guide. You can follow us on Instagram at TCGTE. And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Tom Reynolds.
You follow me at Your Pal Tim. Tom.
Yeah.
I don't like your attitude.
Okay. What are you going to do? Write a complaint?
No, I'm gonna Tom, can you please stop that car alarm from going off?
I think that's why you're so mad at me. I have the window open a crack because it's so hot in here.
Close the goddamn window.
There's a car alarm going off once in a while. It gives ambiance.
New York sucks.
It's New York City, baby. Why
you know, everybody's talking about like, oh no, New York City's gonna die, and I've just been like, no, it's great. New York City will never die. You know what? New York City sucks. We should all leave.
All right.
Do you think there's any currently operating serial killers in New York City?
I would imagine all 25 are operating in New York City. They all work on Wall Street. And they've all just been furious during this pandemic. As soon as things open back up again, it's going to be a bloodbath.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about Patrick Bateman from the Hogan family.
All right, we'll see you next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.